I can really feel God's presence. The worship team are awesome. Well done for leading so well. I can really feel that God is here, and I always love coming to Love Assembly, and you guys are blessed with this building. I really like it, and I'm really happy to see you all in this building, this new building. Pastor Fowler asked me a while ago if I would come, and I just have to tell you how much I love Pastor Fowler. When he texted me, I was so happy because I, for some reason, God has placed a deep heart within me, a deep love within me for this man. And you guys are blessed with this incredible couple. And pray for them, because as they prosper, so this church prospers. As they are healthy, so this church is healthy. So pray for these guys. And we have a massive love for these guys. And you are in a good church. Just smile and just... Okay. My name is Judah, if you haven't met me. My wife Rachel sends her love, and she's very sorry that she can't be here. Our son Jack, who is 3 years old, has been going through some trouble with a lot of crying, and we're not sure why. And so we're believing God that he's going to come through this, but for now, he's at home, and we're just having to be careful with making sure that he doesn't go out too much and that he's able to rest at home. But we love him, and we're trusting God for him. And if you have children, then I understand what it is to be a dad, and I actually come from Manchester, and I support a team called Manchester United. And so last night, I wasn't sure whether I wanted Liverpool or Tottenham to win, but I'm glad for Liverpool. And I come from Manchester, and about 9 years ago, God sent my wife and I here to plant a church, and we currently lead a church round the corner from here, but we've only come from Manchester. I know many of you have come from much further than Manchester to be here in Liverpool, and I love jollof rice. And for many years I have been making jollof rice, and my Nigerian friends keep saying, Judah, give up. But I, this is my favorite. I love chicken and rice, and this is my favorite kind of rice, jollof rice. A while ago, I was in Nigeria, and we were preaching. My friend and I were preaching in churches around Jos and Kaduna and different places. And on the last day, we were enjoying jollof rice with chicken. In fact, we'd had jollof rice and chicken for 3 weeks straight. And on this last day, my friend turned to me and he said, I am so happy. I said, why? He said, because I can go home to eat English food, chips and pie. And I was so sad. For me, this was like the last supper. The last day I was eating jollof rice and chicken. I could not understand why he was so happy. For me, this was sad. And so, great. So today we have a slide on the screen behind. We are going to ask a question. We're going to answer a question. And that question is looking at how do we produce power in our life? How do we produce power in our life? Recently, I was very blessed in that after 10 years of having an Apple iPhone, I changed my phone and I now have a Galaxy Samsung 10. I feel like I have betrayed my brethren. I feel so sad. For many years, I've been an Apple evangelist. I have been trying to tell Samsung believers that Apple is the future. But I have now realized that Apple is in the past. And the quality of this Samsung phone, it is good. I'm struggling to sync with my iMac. But other than that, it's good that the camera, the quality of watching 4K video on YouTube, just light years ahead of Apple. And so I'm sorry, not sorry. I have been having to text my Samsung friends who for years have been saying, Judah, get a Samsung. And they have been delighted and thankful and praising God for answering their prayers. So I have a Samsung phone. But do you know one of the main reasons I got this Samsung phone? The battery life. I don't know about you, but it gets to 2 o'clock in the afternoon with an iPhone and it dies. In fact, with an iPhone, it's all about power management. Airplane mode. Will it make it through the day? Samsung, it just lasts. The power gets me through the day. I get to 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night and Samsung, it hasn't turned off. I haven't had that 5% battery remaining single thing that happens with an iPhone. So Samsung, I got it because I knew the battery would last through the day. Because I find that to get through life with a phone, it has to have battery power. I live in a place called Garston. And if you carry on past Garston, past the airport, on your way to Witness and keep going, you'll find that there's a power station. In fact, you may have seen this power station. I drive past this power station with a phone in my pocket, and this is what I think. Why is there so much power in that power station, and yet it doesn't seem to get into my phone? Why is there a power station full of power, and yet for some reason, all the power in the world doesn't yet seem to be able to make its way into my phone? There's a disconnection. There's a power station full of power, and yet my phone is drained of battery day after day. How do I get power? How do I connect my phone and its use day to day with a power station full of power? God is all powerful. He is full of power. God's power, in fact, is not the issue. We know that He is the all powerful God. He is full of power. But yet, why is it that day to day, why is it that situation to situation, we sometimes feel like we don't have the power for living? Why is it that we know God is a God of power, and yet day to day we struggle to have enough power to make it through the day? Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says these words. It says, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will be filled with something. Now, what were they to be filled with? They were to be filled with power. What's interesting about this verse is that Jesus was saying to them, you are about to build my church. You are about to go and start the biggest mission that has ever existed. You are about to go and build the kingdom of God. And what's the one thing that you need? He could have said anything. He could have said, in order to do life, in order to be successful, he could have said anything. And yet the one thing he said that you will need in order to live the life that you were called to live, it's this: power. We need power. Peter stood up in Acts 2 and he lifted up the name of Jesus over the city of Jerusalem. What is the purpose of this church, Love Assembly? What is the purpose of your life? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9 and 10 tells us the purpose and plan of God for your life, for this church. It's to see Jesus at the center of everywhere and everything. When Jesus is at the center of your life, when Jesus is at the center of your workplace, when Jesus is at the center of your street, when Jesus is at the center of your school, that's when he gets all the glory. That's why we are here in Liverpool, to see Jesus at the center of this city and at the center of our lives and at the center of everything. That's God's big plan, to see Jesus at the center. But what does it take to see Jesus at the center? It takes power. It takes power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you will receive power. But you know what? We know that there's this big plan to see Jesus at the center, and yet often we don't even have the power to get out of bed. We struggle to get out of bed. We wake up and we remember the 3 meetings and the washing that needs doing and the cooking that needs doing and the house that isn't tidy, and we remember everything we've got to do, and we roll over because we often don't even have the power to get out of bed, never mind the power to transform a city. We need power to get out of bed. Power and energy that enables us to not just cope with life, but to overcome, to not just get through the week, but to get through the week lifting Jesus high everywhere we go. Not just power to get through, but power that enables us to do what we were called to do and to live beyond our circumstances and to truly lift Jesus high in wherever God has placed us. You know, it takes emotional energy to lift Jesus high in our lives, to step out of our comfort zone, in the middle of a place of gossip, in the middle of family trauma, in the middle of situations that are out of control. It takes emotional energy. It takes power in those circumstances to lift up the name of Jesus. We can't lift up Jesus in our own strength. We need power from above. And there is a power station called God Almighty who has all the power you need in order that you can get through your day living a Jesus-centered life that lifts up Jesus in your life and in our city. But the question is, how do we get power? We need power. How do we get power? Where do we connect our life or our phone in order to get power? Well, the answer we see is in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was poured out and they received power. But I want to give a little verse that is like a commentary on what happened in Acts chapter 2. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, there's a little verse hidden away. And this verse, it's like shining a light on what actually happened in Acts chapter 2. It's a verse that we don't often associate with Acts chapter 2. But in Romans 5, verse 5, it says these words. When the Holy Spirit, I'm paraphrasing, when the Holy Spirit comes, this is what he does. The Holy Spirit takes the love of God and he pours it into our heart. When the Holy Spirit came into the upper room, this is what he did. He came and he took the love of God and he poured it into the lives of the apostles. They were filled in that room with the love of God. When that fire purged through them, it was cleansing them so that they could receive the love of God. God's love is the key to knowing the power of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15, Paul writes this: when you experience the love of God, then you will know his power. The love of God is the key to knowing the power of God. We can't just know about the love of God. You have to tangibly experience the love of God. It's in his love that you grow in power. His power comes from his love. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus, he came out of the desert, and it says in Luke chapter 4, he came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. But what started his journey to power? When he went into the desert, he went having an experience. He came out of the water of baptism, the heavens were opened, and it says this: the Father looked down on Jesus and said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." In that moment, Jesus experienced the love of God through the Holy Spirit. And it was the love of God that produced in Jesus the power of God. Jesus went into the desert filled with God's love and went out of the desert in the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, this is the interesting thing about that story. We all live a life where we want often quick fixes. We think of the power of God, and this is what we do. I'll go on YouTube, or I'll wait for the man of God, who's the man of power, to come along. And if that person with power lays their hands on me, I will receive power and I'll be happy. We think power comes from a moment, but you see, power doesn't come from a moment, it comes from a process. You see, there are some things in life that can't be fast-forwarded. There are some things in life that don't come in an instant. They come through allowing God to work through a process in your life. You see, Jesus got the power of God because he was willing to not just experience the love of God, but he then, with the love of God, went into a process where he was separated from people, from his purpose, and from provision. And it was in that place of separation that was a desert, a place of wilderness, a place that could have made him feel like, have I missed my goal in life? I'm here and it feels like, God, I know you've got a plan for me, but right now I'm on my own in a desert. And yet it was in that place where he felt isolated, where he was alone, where he had to face incredible pain, where he had to face incredible temptation. It was in that desert place that God was producing power in his life. You see, he was willing to let the love of God lead him into a structure that caused that love to turn into power. You see, sometimes we have an experience with the love of God, and then after that, it feels like we go into a desert. We have an experience with the love of God, and then suddenly I'm in a place that feels dry. I'm like, God, I've felt your love. Why does my life now feel dry? Why do I feel detached from your plan for my life? Why does it feel like my friends have distanced themselves for me? Why does it feel like the tap of provision has turned off in my life? You see, maybe God's not punishing you. Maybe God is preparing you so that you can actually know power in your life for what God has for you. You see, Jesus had to have power to move in the plan that God had for his life. Jesus had to have power to face the disciples who were his team, but who were a pain in the bum. And for the people God wants to put in your life that will get you to where God's got you to go, they will be a pain in your bum. And you need power to be able to handle the people God wants to place around you. Because sometimes if you don't have power, then the people around you can end up causing you to shrivel up, can cause you to feel rejected, can cause pain in your life. But if you know God's power in you, it will enable you to exist with the people God wants to place around you. Sometimes God's waiting to put people around your life, but he's waiting for the power of God to be produced in you so that when those people come to you that you need to get to your future, that those people will not destroy your life, but they will cause you to get to where God has got for you. But all of that needs power, and power comes when we allow God to take us into a process that allows God's love to produce God's power in our life. You see, we can go to places where we experience love, but Hebrews 12 tells us this: God disciplines those he loves. What is discipline? Discipline is where God puts a structure of discipleship in your life in order that the love that is in you that you experience would turn into power in your life. Amen? Amen. So we know that God's power comes from God's love. But the next thing I want to ask is, how do we get God's love? Where does God's love come from? Where does God's love come from? How do I experience God's love? Where does it come from? God's love comes from faith. God's love comes from faith. This is what we do as Christians and as humans. We think that if we love God enough, if we come on a Sunday and pour out our love to God, then we will receive his love in return. Because that's how relationships work here down on earth. If I love my wife, then she will love me back. If I love my friend, they will love me back. If I'm feeling no love from my wife, then I have to love her and she will love me back. But you see, the difference is that no matter how much you love God, his love for you isn't dependent on that. You see, the issue with receiving God's love is not an issue of love, it's an issue of faith. You see, I have to believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he died not only to get rid of my sin, he died not only to show me what heaven is like and to give me healing and prosperity and joy and hope and strength, but he died in order that I could receive the love of God. You see, it's by faith that we receive the love of God. It's not a love that comes from our striving or from our ability to love God, and so he owes it to us to love us back. Galatians 5 verse 6 says this. The verse finishes by saying this: we are called to live lives of love. But how do we live lives of love? Paul says the only thing that matters is faith in Jesus expressed in living lives of love. You see, when we trust in Jesus, then we access God's love. And it's God's love that we need to produce power in our life. And so I want to finish with looking at, where does faith come from? Where does faith come from? To get God's power, I need God's love. To get God's love, I have to operate in trust, in faith in Jesus, who provides God's love. But how do I get the faith to receive God's love? How do I get the faith to receive God's love? The answer is, it's God's word. Romans 10 verse 17 says this: faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When Jesus came out of the water of baptism, he received the love of God. But how did he receive? God spoke. God spoke. It was the word of God that released the love of God in Jesus that produced God's power. But when the heavens were opened, God spoke. God spoke to Jesus. And as God spoke, faith was released and love was experienced that produced power in the life of Jesus. The word of God is needed to produce faith that produces love, that produces power in your life. You might say, well, Judah, this all sounds a little bit complicated. There's a big process here. But you see, power is the most incredible force that is needed to remove the kingdom of darkness, to reveal God's light, to bring salvation to people. And God's power is something that we have to develop through a process in our life. God's word. In Acts chapter 8, there's a story of Philip the evangelist. Philip the evangelist goes into a city and he sees revival. He sees demons flee. He sees people following Jesus. Philip the evangelist sees a revival and he turns the city upside down. Philip leaves that city and then he goes out into the desert where he meets an Ethiopian eunuch. And this Ethiopian eunuch is reading from Isaiah. And he pulls Philip up into the carriage and says, help me understand what I'm reading about. And this is what Philip does. He uses that passage of Isaiah to reveal Jesus to this man. And then at that moment, something profound happens. You see, if that was me, and I'd just come from a citywide revival meeting, if I'd just seen hundreds or thousands of people's lives transformed, if I'd seen demons flee, if I'd seen the sick healed, the dead raised, if I'd seen the Holy Spirit poured out in power, and I was now in a carriage a day later with this guy who hasn't yet got to know Jesus, this is what I would do. Fine, I'll explain from Isaiah about Jesus, but then I'd want to tell him the stories of what had just happened. I'd be like, guess what? Jesus is real. I've just seen, I've just seen a city transformed. But Philip doesn't do that. This is what Philip does. It says, Philip then used other scripture to further explain about Jesus. You see, Philip understood this. For this man to experience the love of God, for this man to experience Jesus, he had to have a foundation in the Word of God. You see, when someone is filled with the Word of God, that is how they are able to experience the love of God that then leads them to Jesus. Philip understood that actually in the Word of God, people find Jesus and they experience God's love that produces power. Acts chapter 2, Peter, when he was filled with the power of God, when he experienced the love of God, and he wants to go and show Jesus to other people, what does he do? He lifts up the word of God. He uses the chapter of the book of Joel, and he uses the Bible to produce God's love in other people. All the way through the book of Acts, they lifted up the word of God because they understood that the word of God produces faith, that produces God's love, which then produces God's power. But it starts with the word of God. With the word of God. When God speaks, that's the platform through which faith is released. And in that faith, we experience the love of God. And if we allow the Holy Spirit to let that love fill every area of our life, if we surrender to God's loving kindness, then we began to find that God's power is produced in our life. A while ago, I was in a homeless day center, and I could feel like power, like actual power, electricity in my knee. And I walked over to a lady, and I just said, is your knee okay? And she said, well, actually, I'm in a lot of pain in my knee. And I said, I thought that because I just sensed that, I sensed that God wants to heal your knee. And she said, well, God doesn't have any power. I said, what do you mean? She says, I'm a Wicca witch. I'm a Wicca witch. And she says, I understand power, and you people don't have power. I said, I have more power in me than you will ever understand. I then said, can I pray for you? She said, okay. I put my hand on her head. I prayed for her knee. And then I took my hand off her head. And she said, I felt power, actual power, electricity flowing all the way through my body. And her knee was healed. We need power to point people to Jesus. We need power to live our day-to-day life. But you see, power was produced in me because I'm on a journey of surrendering to the love of God and saying, God, by faith, I need to know your love day by day, week by week. When I was a teenager, if I was to use one word to describe my life as a teenager, if I was to use one word to describe what it was like for me as a 15-year-old, it was this: I was powerless. I was powerless. Powerless. That's how I felt. I remember walking into my high school and I was like, I'm going to see revival here. I'm going to see this school surrender to Jesus. But in reality, I had no power in my life. I was insecure. I was easily led and I felt powerless. I left school with hardly any GCSEs, got thrown out of college for fighting. And do you know what I was doing as a teenager? Robbing cars, in gangs, fighting around Manchester. And I was with people who were starting to do armed robbery and sell, be bouncers on the doors and go down a crazy path. And that was my life. Not because I was some horrible person, but because in my life, I felt powerless. I had dreams. I actually had a sense that God wanted to use me. But you see, the path to get to my dream was unobtainable for me in my strength because I felt powerless. And then one day, my mum walked into my room when I was 18 years old. And at that point, I was full of anger. I was oppressed. Demons in my bedroom. I was I was tormented. I had no peace. I was anxious. I was full of rage, full of sin, doing horrible stuff, going nowhere, no money, no way of fulfilling the dreams that were deep in my heart. I was powerless. My mum walked into my room. I was 18 years old, and I thought she was going to say, "Judah, get out the house. Why are you even here?" And she had every right to do that, but she didn't. She opened her mouth, and she spoke the word of God. She said, "Judah, God will always love you, and I will always love you." And in that moment, faith sparked within me as she spoke the word of God. And in that moment, I could feel the love of God. I could actually feel it. It wasn't just a word that I'd heard at church when I was a kid. I could actually feel the tangible love of God. In that moment, I experienced the love of God. And what was fascinating, as I lay on my bed on that Monday morning as an 18-year-old, in my bedroom, as I felt the love of God, in that love, there was one thing that I could tangibly feel, and it was this: power. And I'd never felt it before, but there was power in that love. And I had a choice to make. Would I carry on living life my own way, or would I surrender to a God who loved me? But within that love, there was power for me to pull myself out of that ditch and for me to find hope and peace and for me to begin to fulfill the plans God had for me. And in that moment, I surrendered to God who loved me. And I began to find a little bit of power, just a little bit of power for me to begin to live a life of peace, for me to find hope, to day by day begin to rebuild my life. And ever since that day, I understand that it is not about me. But by his grace, when I did not deserve it, he came and showed me his unmerited favor, and he poured out his love into my life. And so I don't stand here on my success. I stand here as a broken person who, by God's grace, he chose to show me his love. And as I continue by faith to receive his love, so God's power is growing in my life. Power to heal the sick. Power to face life, power to be able to deal with our three-year-old who right now is going through trouble, power to be able to get up every day, power to lead people to Jesus, power to be able to be part of seeing this city transformed. We need power, and that power is available, but we have to be willing to stop and to say, "God, by faith, I'm going to speak out the word of God, and I'm going to declare that you are my Father and that I am loved by you. And I'm going to stop and I'm going to let your love fill me afresh. And I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to fill me with your love. And then I'm going to do whatever it takes. And if I have to detach from Instagram for a while, if I have to go into a desert where I say for a season I'm not going to hook up with those friends anymore, if it means for a while I'm going to go through a process that may be painful, then I will do it, because I want your power in my love. And I don't just want an experience of love, but I'm willing to go through the desert, whatever that looks like, so that the love in me produces power through me for the plan that God has for my life. Should we pray? Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you pour the love of God into our lives. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that when I was 18, you enabled me to experience the love of God. I didn't deserve it. None of us deserve your love, God. And yet you want to pour your love into our lives day by day by day. And God, we're sorry where we've been striving to receive your love, when we've been trying to perform to get your approval. God, I thank you that it's by faith alone that our job is to believe and trust Jesus in your work on the cross, and that through grace we can receive your love. God, I pray that you would enable every one of us to, I pray you would help us to look at how we go into a place like Jesus went into the desert, how we can go into a place where we are prepared and where we are in process to actually know your power for real in our lives. God, we don't just want to know about your power. We need your power for life. And God, I thank you that whether it's canceling Instagram, whether it's fasting, whether it's setting aside time for prayer, whether it's for a week, a month, a year, whatever our process needs to be, a process that puts us aside and enables your love to mature in us, Lord, I pray that you would enable every one of us. Holy Spirit, like you led Jesus into the desert, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would lead every one of your children here into a place where we can truly allow your love to go deep into our hearts, where we can get rooted in your love, where through knowing your love, we can actually know your power for real in our lives. God, we're sorry where we've stopped receiving your love. God, we're sorry when we've been striving to live a life of being Jesus-centered, but it's been in our strength. God, we know that when your love is in us and your power is produced, then we can truly lift up the name of Jesus. We can build church. We can grow our business. We can be a good husband, a good wife. We can live healthy lives emotionally, physically. God, it takes your power to live as Christians and followers of Jesus. God, it takes your power to be the church. It takes your power to grow church, to do mission. God, it takes your power for life. And Lord, we're sorry when we've been trying to rely on our power and in our strength. God, I pray that you would enable us, that you would take us back to our first love, which is you, God. God, I thank you that it's in your love. You first loved us. God, I thank you that it's in your love as we sit and allow your love to fill us. It's in your love that we find strength. We find power for living. God, I thank you that you want to produce the power of God like never before in our lives. Lord, that we don't live defeated, we don't live overwhelmed, we don't live in anxiety, but God, we live knowing your power in our lives. Not just the power to heal the sick, but power to make healthy, wise decisions. Not just knowing your power for the big things, but knowing your power in our day-to-day moments, knowing your power in our relationships, knowing your power in how we love each other. Thank you, Jesus.
This is reflection time.